Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper on this Saturday evening. If you're joining us for the first time, we are excited to have you with us. And if you've been with us, we come now to the third message on our series, The Proof That One Really Knows God. We are still in the great physician's office undergoing our spiritual checkup, and we come now to the third test that we're undergoing, and that is a test that is desired to measure our spiritual growth. Family and friends, sometimes a bump on the head can cause a temporary effect of our memory. But in the same sense, the believer can also suffer from spiritual amnesia. That is, sometimes we forget. Life is full of bumps. I'm sure you know that by now. That's why on a regular basis it is a good idea for us to get a spiritual checkup, so that we can measure how far we have grown spiritually. If your memories of spiritual growth have faded, tonight let's allow the great physician to rekindle our thoughts toward him and of him. Do you remember how you have grown in Christ since your conversion? The question were asked, are you a growing Christian? How would you answer that? Let's take up our text here in 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, may you put in our minds and in our hearts that desire to know you, to know all about you, to grow in you. Lord, we pray tonight for that soul who may be watching and they do not know you. Oh, Lord, may you implant this message in their heart and in their minds that you want to care for them and love them. And Lord, you want to meet their every need. Father, we pray for that Christian whose memories of spiritual growth have long since faded. Oh, Father, may you rekindle their heart and their mind and implant within them a desire to know all they can about Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, the aim of our message tonight is to effectively measure our spiritual growth. And so step number one is to remember your spiritual growth. You are God's children, forgiven for his name's sake. You have known God himself, who is eternal. You have overcome through God himself. And then step two is to confirm who you are, your great relationship to God, over and over again. The person who is truly knows God has a spiritual growth to remember. That is, they can look back on it. They can remember where they began. They can see how far they've come. And I want you to note that John begins here in our text by addressing three groups of people: little children, fathers, and young men. Note also that each one is addressed twice. From this, two questions immediately arise. Who are these people, and why does John change tenses? Let's take the first question. Is John addressing the various age groups in the church, or is he talking about stages of spiritual growth? Well, let's note a significant fact. There are within every church other adults besides fathers and young men. Therefore, it is doubtful that John would be referring to the various age groups within the church and addressing only fathers and young men and not the rest of the adults. The point is rather strongly taken then that John's classification is for the different stages of spiritual growth. So why does John change tenses from I am writing in verses 12 and 13 to I have written in verse 14? Friend, he does it for emphasis. John is driving home the point that believers must grow in Christ. They must confirm their growth in Christ. And so we're given step number one here. Remember your spiritual growth. In God's family, there are various stages of spiritual growth. And note, what John is writing applies to believers in every age of that is, no matter who the believer is, how weak he is, how strong he is, this message applies to every believer. This is a message for the entire church. Number one, there are little children who have just received Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. And John writes, remember this. Your sins are forgiven you. You are no longer guilty of sin or have need to be judged of sin or condemned from sin. And you are no longer to be punished for sin because you are young in the faith and have just left the world with its sin and its pleasures. You're young. And when you're young, you're more likely to forget what Jesus Christ has done for you. You must focus and you must concentrate upon Jesus Christ, and you must guard against returning to the world with all of its temptation and its enticements. And this goes for all believers of every age. But John then begins to talk about a second group here, fathers. Spiritual fathers is what he's referring to. And he's talking about those believers who are spiritually mature, who have a deep knowledge of God. What is the exhortation to have such a neat knowledge of God? Remember, you have known God from the moment of your conversion, and you have faithfully and diligently served Him day by day. You have fed upon the Word of God day by day. You have set aside a time for prayer, and you have learned to walk with God in prayer. Day by day, you have learned to walk in communion with God, striving for that unbroken fellowship with Jesus Christ, and you have witnessed the power of God at work in your life. You've also been faithful to the church, to its ministry. Day by day, you have committed yourself to the needs you see surrounding you. You have reached out beyond to the world and its people through prayer and through gifts. And day by day you have been giving all that you are to Christ and His mission. You are a spiritual father. One who is deep and rich in Christ and in His ways. And the point is this. The spiritually mature who do have a rich and deep knowledge of God must never forget where they have come from and how they grew in Christ. They must remember how they've gained such a deep and rich knowledge of God. They must remember, and they must stay focused upon the Father, for it is the only way a Christian can finish the race faithfully and receive His reward. The spiritually mature must always remember and continue to grow in Christ. But then John addresses a third group here. He says, young men. He's talking about mature believers again. But these must remember how far they have come. Young men have fought a battle and they've overcome the wicked one. And of course the fathers and little children have too. But it says this especially about the young men. Young men, the wicked one used to attack you at every turn, no matter what you were doing or trying to do. There the wicked one was. He was attacking you with every kind of temptation imaginable, and especially with those temptations that were so common to you before your conversion. And the point is this, the believers who have walked faithfully with Christ over a long period of time have learned how to overcome the temptation of the evil one, and it is a difficult struggle, is it not, friend? It's always been that way. And it will always be that way. For it is never easy to deny yourself. It's never easy to say, Lord, I'll follow you. It's never easy to say, Lord, I'll give up all that I am for all that you are just to carry out your mission. In fact, after we've committed our life and our possessions to Jesus Christ, the devil attacks us more fiercely than he ever has before. Satan does not want to lose us, and he does not want to lose our loyalty to sin. He wants to cause God just as much pain as possible. You know why that is? Because Satan himself rebelled against God in heaven. He wanted everyone to look up to him. He said, I will arise above God. And God cast him out of heaven, and he comes down here to earth, and he comes to the Garden of Eden. And God created Adam and Eve, and he still tried to put himself over and above God by taking God's highest creation, man. Satan deceives man into sinning so that he can be king over man. Satan thought, if I can get over on man, I can get over on God. That's all he's ever wanted, friend, to be over God. And Adam and Eve fell for it. And we inherited Adam's nature. Therefore, right after we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior through repentance and faith, he attacks us with a fervor as never before. But a mature believer learns to overcome. And not only does he learn to overcome, but friend, he must remember how he overcame. For Satan stays after the believer as long as he's here on this earth. And so how do we overcome Satan? Well, first of all, we do it by drawing near to God and praying to God and asking for wisdom. We do it by using God's Word. When we hide the Word of God in our heart and we quote it, we overcome the devil. Quoting it over and over again, we overcome the temptation. Number three, we do it by learning and knowing that a God allows temptations to teach us endurance. And when we endure, we overcome. Number four, we do not yield our body to sin. Believers overcome when we no longer give ourselves over to it. Number five, by clothing ourselves with the armor of God, we overcome. Number six, by keeping on guard. The Bible puts it this way, watch and pray. Be alert, for your adversary, the devil, prowleth around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Number seven, by not giving in to anger or giving place to the devil, believers overcome. Number eight, by submitting to God and resisting the devil, we overcome. Number nine, by not giving enticement of sinners, by not giving in to those who say, oh, just do it this once, it won't hurt. Don't give in, because when you don't give in, you overcome. Number ten, by not entering into the path of the wicked, we overcome. And of course, all of this is done in the light of Revelation 12 and 11, which states, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Oh, my friend, an important pillar in the believer's spiritual growth is knowing how to overcome Satan. Too many believers today have run up the white flag of surrender during the battle. You know, one night a little boy of about 5 years old became suddenly sick. His tummy was causing him excruciating pain, and his mama and daddy knew about it quickly. Holding him so close to her chest, his mama did all she could to comfort that little boy, but no matter what she did, it was to no avail. And after spending a few moments in his mama's arms, that little boy yelled out through his tears, devil, 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 get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. And the crying stopped at once. Apparently, without a doubt, Christ saw that little boy's plea for help. And his understanding that the suffering of this world is caused by Satan and not by God. And within a few moments, that little boy fell asleep in his mama's arms. Only this time, his tummy was not hurting. Now, don't misunderstand all that. For we know that some sickness is for the glory of God, according to John 11:4. But by and large, most sickness and pain is caused by our enemy, Satan. Satan doesn't cause all the pain you and I experience, but when he has his fingerprints on it, you and I have the right, like that little boy, to yell, "Devil, devil, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here." Friend, in whatever way he attacks, you don't surrender during the battle. Instead, you're to raise up the flag of victory. Oh, there is victory in Jesus Christ. There is victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Remember this when you are in the battle. But then we come to step number two. And John is writing here in verse 14, and he says, confirm who you are. Confirm your great relationship to God over and over and over again. Note the emphasis on the second exhortation here to each of the believers he's addressed. The stress, friend, is upon stirring up the believer's relationship to God and to God's Word. Oh, believer, no matter what stage or wherever they are in their area of spiritual growth, wherever you are on the journey, you must never forget who it is that you know. This is the greatest privilege in all the world, knowing God the Father. Knowing the privilege of being adopted into the family of God. Oh, friend, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, when Jesus died for you, when he paid the penalty for sin, when you repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you become a child adopted into the family of the living God. And there's no greater privilege than becoming a son or a daughter of the living God. He writes, little children, young believers, they must remember they have known the Father. They must remember they have been adopted into the family of God. God Himself, the supreme force and intelligence of the universe, is not some abstract energy way off in outer space. God is a person, the supreme person in all of the universe. He is our Creator, our Maker, our Sustainer, our Savior, our Friend. And His great desire is to get His Word across to man and become a father to man. Do you know God as your Father? God loves you. And God sent His Son to the cross for you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God gave that we might receive the blessing of the forgiveness of our sins and be adopted into the family of the living God. Therefore, we can come to Christ expectantly and we can experience the forgiveness of our sins, the love of the Father, and the glorious privilege of being adopted. We can know God as our Father. But there's something else here in this verse. He says, young believers must remember and focus upon God as their Father and not allow God to slip from our mind. Oh, how easy it is to forget. We must not forget. We must remember who we are. We must come to God day by day as our Father. And in order to do that, we must do several things. We must bring our needs to God. And without a doubt, every one of us listening to this message has needs. Some of our needs are unique, but we have a Father whom we can trust to look after our needs. Whatever our needs might be, there is God ready and available to meet our needs. We must trust God, and we must trust God to teach us. We must trust God to guide us. And oh, how we need to be taught by God. And we must trust God to discipline us when we need it. For He is a loving Heavenly Father, and we are but children, and we all know children sometimes go astray. Oh, how, friend, how we must study God. We must study His Word. We must do what it says. We must fellowship with God, and we must love God. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know the love of the Father? Is the love of the Father abiding in you? If it is, you must share His love. We must do nothing to shame the name that stands above every name. And we must share with others what a wonderful Father God is. There's a condition, though, to having our needs met. And the condition is we must be in fellowship with God. But then he writes again, comes the believers who have a deep and a rich knowledge of God. He's no longer talking to the little children. And they must remember everything that's been said to them. In addition to this, they must never give over to the sin of pride, because God has been around since the beginning. There is so much more for us to know about God. And therefore, no matter how deep, how rich our spiritual knowledge is, there is still more to learn. Do you know the height, the depth, and the length, and the width of God? No man does. There is so much to learn about our eternal Father. And He has an eternity of things to share with us. And therefore, there is so much more to know that we can never act or feel as if we have arrived with God. Mature believers must remember from where they have come, and they must continue to seek God. Oh, they've known God from the very beginning, from the very moment they were saved, and yet they must continue to grow in their relationship with God. We need to grow in the nurture and love of God. And then he speaks again to the young men. And he says, young men, remember three things. You must remember that you are strong, and you must know your strength. You must hold to the confidence you've gained from reading God's Word. You must remember where your strength comes from and how you became spiritually strong. Then he says here, number two, they must never trust the flesh of their own mind. Have you not discovered that your flesh and your mind will oftentimes fail you? But God never will. And then number three says, mature believers must remember that the Word of God abides in them. And this is the key to spiritual growth. It's the key to pleasing God. Does the Word of God abide in you? Have you taken the Word of God? Have you hid it in your heart that you might not sin against Him? Not only is it the key to spiritual growth and pleasing God, it's the key to securing the approval of God. No matter what a person might think or do or say, there is absolutely no spiritual growth apart from God and His Word. No person pleases or secures God's approval without living in and studying the Word of God. Mature believers must never forget this, and all believers must remember we have overcome the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You and I have a great need to constantly be reminded of God's power. And if we're not constantly reminded of God's power, spiritual growth will not come. Listen to this story. J. Wilbur Chapman once came to F.B. Meyer with the question, "What is the matter with me? So many times I seem half empty, and so many times I seem utterly powerless. What is the matter with me?" Meyer put his hand on Chapman's shoulder and said, "Have you ever tried to breathe out three times without breathing in once, thinking it might be some new breathing technique?" Chapman answered, "I do not think so." Well, Meyer said, "Try it." So Chapman breathed out once, and then he had to breathe in again. "Don't you know," said Dr. Meyer, "that you must always breathe in before you breathe out, and yet your breathing out is in proportion to what you're breathing in? Friend, do you breathe in the Word of God? Do you breathe out the Word of God? What is in your heart? What is in your mind? That is what comes out, and it must be God's Word. We must meditate on it day and night. The best antidote to not forgetting is to be remembering God's Word. We need to remember to breathe it in. We need to remember to breathe it out. We need to remember who is our strength. We need to remember that the greatest risk we suffer is the risk of forgetting God as our Savior. The best antidote for spiritual growth is to remember whose we are. We are a child of the living God. And Father, we thank you tonight for your word unto us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Oh Lord, may we be growing spiritually. May this test have revealed how much we need to continue to grow in Christ, that we might come to know the height, the length, the depth, and the width of your love for us. Oh Lord, we pray for those who are hurting tonight. We pray for those who are in need of a touch of the Savior tonight. We pray for your grace. We pray for your mercy. We pray for your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.